Come on, Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Back in my day, Porter took over that bastard.
Beast!
Boom, wink.
The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny. Do not vomit me.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 104 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, July 10th, 2016. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about the draft, free agency, and Vegas. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Good evening.
So it's been a while. It's been a couple months since we got together here.
Yeah, I'm looking at our chat, and all of a sudden I see Pokemon in there for...
It's been a while.
Seriously, everyone's going around with the Pokemon.
Right. People are going to get hurt with this stuff, man.
Dude, as we were getting dinner before you showed up, we're sitting at our local establishment, and one of the...
Bartenders.
Server bartenders there was talking about how she slow fell on her moped going around the neighborhood catching Pokemon on her moped.
So it must be common among bartenders. Last night, my wife and I were out enjoying the evening, celebrating her birthday. Happy birthday, by the way, to my wife.
Yeah, good thing she let you out to hang out with us tonight.
Right. But yeah, and where we're hanging out, the bartenders and the wait staff there as well, you know, they're busy talking about Pokemon. Great service. I can't complain about the service. My drink was always full and my food was right there, but they were definitely talking about all the Pokemon that could be found. We happened to be at the Mall of America last night, so.
I swear to God, when I was going over to have dinner, I must have seen like three or four people, and it's a short drive, that were definitely walking trying to find Pokemon. It is insane.
Likewise for me, not to keep these stories rolling, but obviously this stuff is huge, and it's going to get dangerous because everybody's going to be walking around looking for Pokemon, not paying attention. I'm delivering pizzas here out in Newport, Minnesota.
Yeah, watch out if they cross the highway.
I'm cruising down the street, and then all of a sudden these, you know, three, you know, they're youngers, you know, probably late teens, they're running down the street, running right in front of me.
A buddy of mine posted,
and then there he is. He's they're looking at the screen on their phone, and oh, they're playing Pokemon.
a buddy of mine posted he had 9 people walk into his yard in the 40 minutes it took him to cut his grass looking for Pokemons. He goes, dude, this is going to end the obesity problem in the U.S.
It is good. It's getting everybody out and about.
I actually saw a great one. It was someone was saying that, what about all these? Because there's like in the game, there's like certain spots where you can like go and do something special.
Yeah.
And apparently some people are starting to get worried that criminals are going to prey on those spots because people are walking around with their smartphones out in the open.
Yeah.
You know, imagine going to catch a Pokemon in North Minneapolis and,
hey,
you know, yeah. Things will not end well, I don't think.
I got a new Samsung Galaxy Edge. Ooh, look at the new iPhone. You know?
Gotta catch them all.
Yeah, gotta catch them all.
Is this similar to the picture that we were all laughing at earlier of the how to kidnap a 28-year-old with a van that has spray painted on the side, rare Pokemon inside? like saying it doesn't do justice. I mean, you have to. We should probably tweet that image.
It's only a matter of time.
Yep.
Okay, enough Pokemon talk. It's off season, so there's been a lot going on. So let's talk about what's happening in Wild World.
So yeah, what's going on in the Wild World? Well, the end of June and the beginning of July brought in free agency. In the Wild, they started off free agency.
Who'd they pick up?
Picking up a 31-year-old, Eric Staal. He was signed to a 3-year, $10.5 million deal. And is that incorrect?
No, that's right.
Oh, okay. Kenny, Are you out of practice over here?
No, Jesus Christ. Yeah, maybe a little bit.
All right. But anyways, his deal does come with a modified no trade clause. I mean, Stahl, he's had 13 seasons here in the NHL, so, you know, definitely a seasoned veteran. 781 career points, 325 goals, 456 assists. I mean,
and he's basically a Minnesotan because he's from Thunder Bay. So
Thunder Bay, just on the other side of the border.
It's on the other side of the lake. Yep. I mean, he's basically.
Or is that more like being like Suter and being from Wisconsin?
It's kind of about the same.
I would say it's closer in some regards.
Yeah.
Now there was also rumors that Stahl was trying to recruit Parise when Parise was a free agent.
I heard that too.
Rumors going the other way, which you
that
know
Parise
is trying to recruit Stahl.
And why not? I mean, maybe if they feel they could play well together or their styles mesh. You know, these players, they meet up outside of normal team hours, and you know, maybe they think that their styles would mesh well together. Yeah. But I mean. That said, I mean, does Stahl's age, though, does it concern you at all with, like, the length of the contract? I mean, he being 31, he'll be 32 here later this year. A three-year deal, that's going to put him, you know, towards the tail end of, like, you know, he'll probably be about 35. Does that concern you? If so, why or why not?
You know, at 3.5 a year, that doesn't concern me that much. I mean, it'll concern me if his slide that he's been in continues, but I think the supporting cast in Carolina hasn't been great, and that's hurt him. And still, I would agree. I'd also say that, you know, that money is so low. I mean, that's way less than we were paying for Vanek, and he was basically putting up similar points to what Vanek was.
Right.
And he's got a little bit of a grit physical side to him, too. I mean, he's not like Ovechkin, where he's going to be, you know, getting half a dozen hits in a game.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be a presence a little bit. I think that's going to be a good thing for the Wild, and I'm not too worried. It's a short enough contract, and it's not that much.
Yeah.
Well, and I was going to say, the Wild have done longer contracts with guys his age or older.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Backstrom's contract.
Yep.
Parise's going to be a lot older, and Suter are both going to be a lot older by the time their contracts expire.
Right. True.
So, I mean, it's I'm not too concerned about you know, the Grayball contract.
Yeah.
You know, and if anything, there's a few more Stahls out there that are younger than him that we can always, you know, find the younger model, right?
Right. There's a couple more behind him, but... You know, I have to agree with you guys. I guess, you know, his age and the length of the contract, it doesn't really concern me too much, I guess. I think he'll still be a young enough guy.
My biggest concern, though, is that his downward trend continues.
I agree.
And that's going to be it's going to be the anchor on our neck, or around Chuck Fletcher's neck.
Right.
If he doesn't turn things around a little bit. I think he's still got talent to do that.
But there's that. But you also said, you know, he's making less than Vanek. Basically, he was putting up, you know, Vanek-like points. Think of the upside, though. With Carolina, I mean, it was kind of a, you know, not just him, really. I mean, it was kind of Carolina in general, kind of. Tailing off or dropping off.
Yeah, no, it's
you
true.
Know, think of what the upside could be there if we end up, you know, getting if he turns into, you know, a 20-goal, 30-goal scorer a year again, you know, put in a position here. I don't know that that's what we'll get, but, I mean, the upside to it is, I think, could be good.
If he rebounds just a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, still, I think this is still a great contract for the Wild, I think.
Yeah.
Carolina went 35-31-16 last season. So you can't put that on one player.
No.
So, I mean, with that,
but I mean,
like
but
you're he, saying, but, without but, the supporting cast.
Yeah, his teammates, I mean, there's not a whole lot on that team, you know, so I feel pretty good with this pickup in a general sense.
I agree. So... I mean, that said, too, will Stahl come into the Wild? Will he be a leader, or do you think he's coming here more to compliment somebody like, you know, Parise or you know?
I think he's going to come in as a leader in the essence that he's a veteran player that has experience.
Okay.
You know, he's played with some top-notch guys in the past. Mm-hmm. He definitely has that experience. As far as, like, a leader amongst the Wild, I think it's going to be hard to take that away from Koivu, just because I think a lot of the guys respect Koivu who he is.
Agreed.
Parisi's just a definite on-ice leader that it's going to be hard to take that grit and showmanship and workmanship away from him. Suter amongst the D might be up there. Whether he gets an A or a C, it's going to be tough to tell. I mean, we're also underneath a new coaching regime that it's, you know, right. They might see things in totally
season.
Different eyes.
Yeah, true.
Well, and see, I think that Fletcher just has a boner for captains because Stahl is the captain of the Hurricanes. How many captains has he picked up along the way? It's like,
dude, could you imagine if we had a team full of captains? We'd have all chefs, no cooks, and everybody's doing their own thing, but everybody's scoring.
Doesn't work that way. It's unfortunately, it's a team sport.
Well, I don't know. Talk to Fletcher then.
Actually, that's a really good question, though, is can there be too many leaders? You know, is this team going to suffer from not having a more unified voice? Or is it just going to be there's a lot of – we got a bunch of kids that maybe need that leadership, but yeah. We've got a lot of leadership right
now. So are they going for the older peer model? Like everybody, a buddy system? Like every rookie?
It's like the Big Brother program.
It's the Big Brother program. Every rookie pairs up with a veteran, and we're going to make you guys awesome.
Yep. Let's go down to the playground now.
This is how you knock Billy off the slide when he cuts in line.
Right. So who do you guys see Stahl matching up with line mates? And,
well, Russo,
know, what are the possibilities?
Russo is saying that he thinks it's going to be Parisi and Coyle, right?
Yeah.
And that makes me go, I don't get that move. I honestly don't really understand that one. I'd like to see Stahl playing with slighter guys. Like I said, Stahl's not necessarily a hitty guy, but he's a little more physical. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather he play with some of the slighter guys that aren't as grindy. You know, Parisi will grind.
Yeah.
You know, Coyle can grind. He doesn't necessarily, you know, but
he comes and goes with it.
But I'd rather see him paired up with a Zucker or a Granlund or a Hall, not Halla, but you know, a little bit smaller guy, so there's a little more balance, you know.
Where does Koivu go then?
Well, I think Koivu is going to remain on the second line. I think he's going to remain second line center.
Oh, and maybe that's what you do. You have Koivu and Granlund together, so
The Finns together. They play well together.
Yeah, they do.
And Granny plays good on the wing.
But you know, or Pominville in Stahl. Pominville's got to go somewhere because unless. Yeah, I mean, he's not going anywhere, so he's got to be paired with someone, and he's not a physical player, so...
Well, I do think...
Or do you want to punish Stahl like that and put him next to Pondville? I don't know.
Well, I do think you're going to see...
Boudreaux's doghouse.
just with Parisi and Stahl, with kind of their banter back and forth, and I think Stahl could be a caliber player to play on a line with Parisi. I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the top line. And, you know, if those two have that connection, they should be able to read each other fairly well, and it might make a great top line. Now, Aaron, as you're saying, you know, they're both kind of grinder guys, but how bad would that be to have your top line that score and also be a grinder line, like physically wearing guys down?
That can wear the team down, you know.
And but still score.
Even when the other team, when you're on the road and the other team is, you know, forcing your hand to put, you know, the lines out that of their choosing so you can match up against them and you're grinding their first line.
But
down
I think a big problem that the Wild have had is they're not a four-line team as far as scoring goes. And that's been a problem.
They've had their moments.
But they haven't been consistently, and that's been a problem. And so I'd rather distribute the talent a little bit, even if you just want to have more of a checking line. I get that.
But is that going to just water down the gene pool at that point?
Well, hopefully you have enough talent in the pool where you can kind of exchange things, you know.
And speaking of that, coming in hot, I mean, we got Chris Stewart. He was signed to a two-year, $2.3 million deal.
There's your third-line grinder right there.
Third, fourth line, wherever he's going to lie. But, you know, I mean, he came in. It's a relatively low cap hit at only about $1.2 million a year. So, I mean, the last time he was with the Wild, he managed 13 points in 28 games. And also, you know, that included the two assists and within the eight playoff games they had that year. But, you know, and then last season with Anaheim, you know, 23 points in 63 games. It's not, you know, super amazing, but, you know, for, yeah, like you say, a third or fourth line guy, you know, that you know, it could definitely give something to the Wild.
I like that contract, actually. I think that's a very solid contract for a guy of his caliber.
Yeah,
that can still bring something to the team.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Well, I was going to say, the thing I like about that is that he's a guy who's going to end up on the fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that the Wild have always done is they get a fourth line guy, and they have absolutely no ability to score. Konopka would be a great example of that. But Chris Stewart has a chance to score. Yes. He's not going to put up a ton of points at this point,
nope.
But he'll also stand up for players. And, you know, as we saw last year, you know, he was out for several weeks with a broken jaw
because
of a fight he was in. So he'll stand up for guys. And, you know, we had Porter or what's his head? I'm blanking on name, but we had a couple guys on that fourth line that weren't really willing to be that guy.
Yep.
And we need someone that will at least stand up and accept challenges.
Right.
And he's the one guy that I think we have had in the last couple of years that has more ability beyond just face punching.
Right.
Honestly, I'll take 11 points in 20 games from a fourth line guy any day of the week, especially for the Wild.
No doubt.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think, you know, just like you pointed out there, and I mean, he brings some grit, some physicalness to the Wild that would, you know, definitely benefit the team. But, you know, we've all seen it. You know, he has the ability to, you know, once in a while break out a little bit offensively too and be a difference maker in a game.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, maybe count on him all the time, you know, 100% of the
time. But he's a fourth line guy.
Exactly.
You know? Who cares?
Right.
Or even if he moves up to third line, you know, depending on things shake out or players move and whatever, you know, that's Ryan Carter is the guy I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Ryan Carter.
Yeah.
Ryan Carter, though.
But he wasn't a fighter, though.
He wasn't a fighter, but he would be physical enough, I think. I actually really like Carter.
I like Carter more than Porter. Porter
was
just nothing. He was.
Yeah.
Milk toast to me. So.
But Carter would be physical, and oftentimes we did see, you know, some offense generated via Carter.
So yeah, no, this is true.
I feel that he was,
he was, but I think Stewart is a better version of Carter.
Yeah.
You know, he can score more points, and he's more physical.
Well, him and Dumba got along.
Well, he got along with a lot of guys.
He did.
He's coming in hot. I don't know if you guys remember him and Zucker on the bench, and him like basically you know miming that he's like just giving whoever it was a good hit, and they're both like chuckling on the bench.
Yeah,
it's like the best. It's one of my favorite memories aside from the coming in hot. You know,
But that's another part to it too. I mean, besides what you bring on the ice. Is also what you bring, you know, to the locker room. You talked about having a group of leaders and this and that, but you know, you've also got to have your good guys in the room that you know get along with people that keep things
the energy guys,
yeah, the chemistry guys.
We're playing divorce guys, you know, that kind of guy.
Yeah,
they have divorce guys too.
Oh boy.
But we need players like that. We need, you know, because you look at, you know, Suter and he's like,
A lump on a log?
Let's go to Quick Trip, okay?
Let's go to Quick Trip.
That's because his HVAC commercial got pulled.
Yeah.
I don't have any more HVAC, so we got to go cool off in the summer. Yeah,
it's hot now.
Let's go get a soda.
Yeah.
Pop. Come on. Pop.
Well, he's Wisconsin.
They would say pop.
They would say pop. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Stewart's probably one of my most excited signings for a 1.2 million player. I mean,
right. I mean, we shouldn't expect a whole lot from him, but at the same point, he's a fun player to watch.
And he is.
And honestly, at the end of the day, that's what we want. We want players that are fun and that, you know, give us something to talk about. And, you know, if we're winning or losing, we know he's going to be fun to watch.
Right. So, well, so I think it's kind of agreed upon at what we got him for. It's pretty good value. Some other pickups that the Wild did make. They were goalie Alex Stalock. You know, picked him up for $650,000 a year. But you know, another center Patrick Canone. Or I don't know if I pronounced his name right. Canone.
We'll go with that.
Canone. Yeah, and defenseman Victor Bartley. These guys are probably more to, you know, help out probably down in Iowa here.
Well, they need the help just as much.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
our cupboards are bare.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it, because you know, if anybody goes hurt or goes missing up here,
they're really like,
yeah, last year we were scrimping and scraping for something of quality to bring up.
Iowa's got to be going, guys, we have nothing. You can't take nothing from nothing.
And yeah. and it's great that Stalock is a Minnesota kid. He's super excited to be, I mean, the fact that he's excited to play in Iowa.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys saw the tweets, but he's like, you know, it's great going really close to home, being close to friends and family.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Des Moines is a pretty quick trip from here.
Quick trip.
I did not intend that. I swear to God.
Oh, man.
We better be getting money for that one, Lindgren. Please tell me you signed some back-end deal we don't know about.
You know, their
ATMs. This episode is not sponsored by...
A trip to the ATM shouldn't cost you $1.50.
That's it. Man. I'm done. I'm waiting until October. I'm gone until October.
You should join a union. It's a short distance from the Twin Cities to Des Moines. So the fact that he was excited to basically be AHL fodder.
Yeah.
And I think we got a good talent out of him.
Right.
You know, he's been in the NHL. He has all right, you know, record.
Yeah.
He's a smaller guy, which is a little different than what's norm now in the NHL. But I think he's got the talent there to be a good backup, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, so he's a capable backup, you know, beyond Kemper. Are the Wild, you know, setting themselves up to, you know, maybe expose a goalie? Maybe in the upcoming expansion, which I know we'll kind of get into that a little bit later today, but.
Or our trade. I mean, the tough part would be, I think Kemper cannot be exposed if he's not signed to a contract.
Okay.
Well, he just resigned.
For one year. So, and I think he's a UFA after this year. So he would, unless the Wild re-sign him before the end of the year, he wouldn't be in the draft. So it's quite possible that the only way, you know, we're exposing anyone is if we move Dubnyk sometime during the season.
Actually, you know, both of you just brought up a really good point, though. Having that third goalie available with the upcoming draft.
Yeah.
I mean, not to jump ahead too much, but it makes sense to talk about it right now. Having that option if one of the goalies were to go away.
Yeah. And McCulloch as well. You know, we've got... This is actually seems like the deepest goaltending staff we've had in a very long time.
Well, yeah. Since what, like the Lemaire days almost?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we had that time where Khudobin was our top, you know, guy. But I don't remember a time where we had two guys in Iowa or in our minor league's top team that would be able to come up.
Didn't we have like four top goalies at one point with like three of them injured?
Yeah, this is true.
I mean, because that was when we had Briz and Backstrom and
Kemper. Harding.
And Harding in there.
It's like, oh, man. So we had those some lean years.
Yeah. Except for, you know, four high end goalies at the time and
NHL
level
caliber.
But three of them happen to be out at any
they
given point.
They can't play, they're not worth anything.
Exactly. Well, no, so, but you still gotta pay for it.
That's true. So do you guys think that Boudreaux is here, do you think he's going to kind of do the split time with the goalies, or do you guys think he's going to do like Yo and Torchetti did last year and, you know,
well, you're
sticking with the Dube train?
Well, you're paying Dubnyk like a number one, so you got to expect that he's going to...
Two-thirds, one-third?
My only concern is that if Dubnyk has a few rough games at the beginning of the season, does it now become a play the hot hand and we're kind of in that game?
We were kind of looking at Boudreaux's past before we started this podcast, goalie.
And he's not normally a one goalie guy.
No, I mean,
not a one trick pony.
No.
His goalies seem to split a lot of time, and he kind of rode the hot hand until they had a couple of losses, and also needed to switch it up until they had a couple of losses. I really kind of see it, maybe not a 50-50, but maybe like a two-thirds, one-third, or like three-fifths, two-fifths situation with Dubnyk leading the pack, unless he has a terrible year and Kemper's playing hot.
And that changes all of our questions about whether or not the Wild look at moving people. But,
exactly.
You know.
But I see it being somewhat equal, but I think Dubnyk kind of being the number one and Kemper being the backup, but neither of them... being overextended in their tenure, at least in this upcoming season.
Yeah. And so, and that said too, I mean, we do still also have a couple of unsigned restricted free agents in Dumba and Schroeder.
Man.
You know, if you're Chuck Fletcher, I mean, do you sign both of these guys or just kind of, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they still got what? They're still like about what? $5 million under the cap right now,
right?
So they've got a little room to wiggle. I mean, what are you guys thinking?
I really really hope they do not get rid of Dumba. I don't see him quite being what Burns has turned into, but he does remind me a bit of what Burns was without quite the hip check that Burns has.
Right, right.
And, you know,
is it because he can't grow a beard yet, though?
Yeah, I think Burns didn't quite have a beard when he was with Minnesota.
No, he grew into a man out there.
Oh, you're going to trade me? Well, guess what?
Yeah.
I really hope that they let Dumba develop a little bit more.
That was a Wookiee, by the way.
Thanks for the clarification.
I figure it better in case someone's listening and didn't see the mannerism with it, too. Otherwise, they might
What if they don't know what a Wookiee is?
Or they might just think I'm having a stroke or something.
Aaron, the left side of your face is limping.
What?
Hockey fans are special.
Between Dumba and Schrader, I'd rather keep Dumba.
Definitely, definitely.
And you know, $5 million cap space. Give Dumba, you know, he's just getting out of his entry level right now, so give him maybe like a $2-2.5 million for 3 years, I think would be worth it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking there's like a bridge deal, something to get us to next year, because we haven't seen him really break out yet. And, you know, with the expansion draft, we might have to expose someone. Or we're going to have to expose someone that we feel has value.
Right.
And I worry about doing that with, and giving, you know, if we give him a huge deal and he doesn't do anything this year, then we're basically stuck with this, you know, anchor of a contract. And because at that point, you know, Las Vegas will be like, nah, no, I'm not going to pick that. So I'm thinking, you know, a bridge deal for him. Schrader, I don't know where he has room to play. You know, maybe, I mean, maybe give him a, if he can convince him in a two-way, but I don't think it's going to happen. But
he's going to be a small contract.
Yeah.
It's going to be small.
I think he still might be able to be convinced.
Yeah, maybe, maybe.
But I don't know. And with Dumba, I know you say that we haven't seen him break out. So yes, we haven't seen like a full complete season.
Right.
But I think we have definitely seen enough glimpses.
Oh, we see flashes all the time.
Into what he can and most likely will be. So
but then we also see lapses defensively, and that's the problem is I don't know what the reason is, but he'll just stoner it up and just, make
mess. But
there's
things that you do as a young defenseman where, you don't make maybe the best choices. We don't all see things in suitor speed.
Here's the other thing, especially this past season. You have your veteran guys that played their style of hockey and didn't change up, but you get a new coach in midway through the season, you're going to have younger guys that are trying to adapt to what their coach actually wants. That's gonna maybe set them back a little bit from where they were at.
Yeah.
And the veteran guys are going to be in their ways. They're going to be stuck in their ways. They're going to continue doing it. I think Dumba tried showing a bit of a glimpse of some more offense after Yo was out. But, I mean, Hall is a prime example of that. Look at him just break out after he got out of the doghouse.
That's true.
I think we got a third coach coming in for Dumba right now.
Oh, and maybe that even more so makes the need for a bridge contract because, maybe we need to see how he performs under a different coach. We've seen him on
different
two.
System. And it's not even just a different head coach. We got a set of different coaches coming in.
Right, this is true.
So, it could be interesting to see what happens with Dumba, but I think he's definitely has a talent to kind of be what Burns has turned into as a top scoring defenseman.
That's my thing, is I think that when I watch Dumba, I see a natural talent, actually, is what I see. It's not anything that's you're going to be able to, necessarily coach into somebody. Things like the defensive mistakes and things like that, those are the things you're going to be able to coach on. But there's like a natural ability that this kid has. That bomb of a shot. Yeah.
Burns had that same thing.
I don't think you want to let that go.
And if we get rid of another defenseman that turns into what Burns turns into.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying get rid of him. But saying it's got to be, we got to keep our expectations reasonable.
I'm not saying you are, but if the Wild do that again and Dumba turns out to be another Burns on a different team, I might just jump off the high bridge with a Wild sweater on. Be like, you guys did this to me.
Well, then a Pokemon player will find you a couple weeks later looking for their water Pokemon.
The Pokemon again.
Oh, man.
I will be the Wild swimming Pokemon.
Then three in the box will probably have to go to the draft to find a third host, right?
You're going
to
be Dumbasaur.
Dumbasaur?
Yes.
Yeah, what happens when we go to the draft?
You know, if I jump off the high bridge, you might be able to get Felska to move to the Twin Cities.
There we go. How do the Wild do for the draft?
Yeah, speaking of draft knowledge here. Yeah.
So, quick rundown. A couple of Americans.
The Wild only had four picks, so it's,
Americans?
There was a Canadian.
And a Russian.
A Russian. And a couple of Americans.
No Finnish-ons?
No Finnish-ons.
Right. No Swede-ons?
No Swede-ons.
Yeah.
No Britons.
Okay, now.
What about Jamaicans?
Yeah, man. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Can we get on with this now?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure that the guests or the audience is patiently waiting for us to get moving.
I'm sure they are.
Our first pick was
Luke Kunin from Wisconsin. So most mock drafts had the Wild picking Michael McLeod, who went to the Devils at 12. Kunin went number 15 in the first round.
Yep.
And Kiefer Bellows, son of Brian Bellows, Minnesota North Stars great. He went on to the Islanders at 19th. Kunin Most mock drafts put him anywhere between 12th and 23rd, so then, you know, they had him on the higher end of it.
Right.
He seems like a reasonable pick. He's a good player on a bad team, unfortunately.
With those Badgers.
Well, you know.
Badgers.
Well, Wisconsin hasn't had a good hockey team in the past couple of years. They've just not been.
Ever since Suter left. Right?
They're always the Badgers.
So, that being said, Bell is a pick that the Wild should have made, if not just for the legacy connection, or is it a smart, you know, pick the best player on the board moment?
You know, I think, you know, when you read the descriptions of Kiefer Bellows, it's like a natural goal scorer, sniper, and it's things like that where I go, we need that.
Yeah.
Kunin, I guess he gets good, has a good reputation of being a scorer as well, you know, and maybe it's not the worst thing. But Lord knows, seeing a Bellows in Minnesota. Is that
Bellows in another Minnesota sweater?
I mean, that's...
might confuse people, actually.
When people show up with a Bellows jersey and Bellows North Star jersey right. At the Wild games.
Is that jersey foul at that point?
I don't know. No. Well, now it might be.
Now it would be.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
So, speaking of natural goal scorers, though, our round 7, number 196 pick... Dmitry Sokolov from Russia. He was playing with Sudbury in the OHL, the Ontario Hockey League. You know, he's a leading rookie goal scorer in the OHL, 17-year-old from Russia. He should have been a top 15 pick, but injury and conditioning held him back. Something with his shoulder, I think, yeah. He's had issues with. His coach, Mastas, in the OHL, speaks very highly of him, again, calling him a natural goal scorer.
Right.
There's a pretty funny quote about him where the coach on the bench was like, hey, would you stop putting these pucks off the post and outside the net and actually ring one off the post and put it in the net? And his next shift, he went out and rang one off the post outside the net, went back to the bench and said, sorry. And the coach is like, sorry for what? He's like, for ringing it off the outside of the post. So, you know, the Wild, I don't think, need another post scorer because we have enough of them already. But, you know, he wants to play in the NHL, you know, and he's happy to play in OHL on the smaller rink.
Because that's why he came to the North American game.
So he wanted to get into the NHL with the smaller rinks. And
he's not going to get that. He's like the game in Russia, just at that level. I mean, he was outplaying everyone that was
with
his peers.
The bigger rink.
Yeah, with the bigger rink, he was outplaying them, and he needed
more room to maneuver.
Yeah, and I guess I saw the article on NHL.com, and it was like, you know, and it was talking about how it was a bit of adjustment because he didn't speak any English when he got here or got to North America. And it's a pretty interesting story, especially with the whole dropping from, you know, you're talking about him being
a top 15.
Yeah.
Down to 196 in round 7.
Right.
So, I mean, do you think these shoulder injuries are beyond them? I mean, is he going to be the next hot thing for the Wild? Or is, you know, Gavrik was top dog when he got picked, you know, Wild's first pick overall. But look at what happened with him with his groin issues. I mean, or is his shoulder going to be another reoccurring injury like Gavrik?
Well, and that's the thing is sometimes it really depends on the injury. But, you know, if an injury never gets a chance to heal, it can be a nagging thing. But, yeah. You know, hopefully he was given, you know, the opportunities to actually heal that shoulder.
He's 17. I mean, he's still technically developing at that point.
That's right. The thing. Yes, he's a younger guy. He should heal fairly quickly. At that age, I mean, you're still regenerating your cells a lot quicker than you are when you get up there.
Than us.
yeah. So, keep killing your brain cells, man.
No. Haven't you heard the theory? It's just a bad... It's like the buffalo theory. So the only brain cells that are getting killed off are the slow ones.
Getting rid of the
slow
ones.
So I'm technically getting okay. faster.
That's what it is. But yeah, so I mean, I think that, you know, with his age, I'm not as concerned about the injury side of things yet. I mean... That being said, you're taking a gamble anytime on a young prospect like that.
Every draft is a gamble,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
How many? Well, look at the Oilers.
Right.
How many number ones have they had? And, you know, they had what, 4 number one draft picks on their yeah. line this yeah, past
it's,
season.
It's a lot,
and they still didn't make playoffs.
Right. So I mean,
doesn't mean anything.
Where your pick doesn't really mean a whole lot. You know, if what they're saying is true. You know, that's a huge coup for the Wild. But the fact that he was picked in the 7th round and the Wild had picked at least one mid-round guy in front of him means that...
Brandon DeHaim, another American.
Right. It means that there was genuine concern about that injury.
Yeah.
By every team.
Yeah.
Enough
multiple times.
Enough for 195 guys to be picked in front of him.
Let's see. 30 teams divided by 100. 195 divided by 30.
The upside of that late round pick, though, could be huge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Hall.
Probably definitely worth a gamble at.
Hey, look at Hall. Hall is picked pretty late, and he's, you know.
What regime?
Yeah, well, this is true. But at the same point, you know. And this is, I would say, though, that under Fletcher, while our first rounders have been a mixed bag, he's been a better drafter than we had under Risebrough. So,
true.
I'm not gonna knock this pick until we see some production, until he gets into the
see how it pans out,
until he's in the pro game. The bigger problem I would say is that the fact that we only had 4 picks. And that's because Fletcher's traded away everything.
Wasn't he originally like trading for picks to get the depth built? Wasn't that his whole philosophy?
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Isn't that why we voted for him? Oh, wait. Never mind.
Oh, wait. Make the Wild great again or something.
Super elective? super delegate? Is that what it was?
Oh, boy.
So, actually, speaking of regimes, though, if he gets called up or makes it up while we still have Boudreaux, I was just thinking about this. We've seen Boudreaux's interaction with the Russians, and it hasn't been good.
Yeah, this is true.
Like, I mean, is this going to be an issue? Like, the ethnicity with Boudreaux, or do you think that was just a specific set of people that he was having issues
well,
with?
Well, and luckily this kid has played North American game before becoming a pro, so he's been primed already. So I have a feeling that he's coming from a little different background than, say...
Ovechkin,
you know.
Or
Kenny's predicting World War III here, or what?
Four.
Oh, boy.
Four.
Anyway, speaking of the world ending, the unthinkable has happened, and one of the major 4 sports has opened a franchise in Vegas, and that would be the NHL.
Whoa.
That's World War III.
the unnamed team will be starting in the 2017-2018 season and will be in the Pacific Division.
Humanga's big.
This team will be in Sin City and will basically be on the Strip. Who will be attending these games? Who will want to play for these team?
Okay, so attending the games, I'm betting a lot of the casinos are going to be buying out tickets
left and right. He's betting.
I'm betting. If I were a betting man. So is Bettman going to be at these games?
Oh, man.
They're not dubbing, they're booing.
I'm going to guess that the casinos...
Kenny must be a dad, because that was a definite dad joke there.
Well, I missed Father's Day this year, so I think I'm good. No cards came in the mail.
You're the father.
I would have to guess that the casinos and resorts are going to buy up a chunk of these to give away to their high rollers.
But there's
going to
be no home fans. I mean, it's going to be like...
who's home in Vegas anyways? Like, it's such a... Like in and out city, well, the Bunny Ranch, in and out city.
There's people who live in Vegas.
Do they care about hockey?
They don't make enough money to attend hockey games.
Is a good question.
Well, you do have the transplants, so maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of friends of mine from up here moved to Vegas for a while.
But you got transplants in Arizona and Florida, and they have problems, filling the buildings. Vegas is even smaller than those markets. Do we really think that there's going to be people like that are? I mean, how many jerseys are they actually going to sell? I mean, I would guess in the time that this franchise will exist, and I'm going to predict it's going to be short. The Wild will sell more jerseys in 1 year than that team will sell in their whole entire, lifespan.
Well, this is also Gary Bettman talking, who put a team for the second time in Atlanta, for the second time moved out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, hopefully this will be the downfall of him, and this will be his his last hurrah.
Well, the owners aren't going to vote him up because they get that nice $500 million deal where the expansion fee is split amongst the teams. So they love this.
What I'm going to say, though, as much as I dislike Bettman, is that this could be actually huge for the NHL. Because what you mentioned when you first brought this up was that this is the first of the four major sports.
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason the other one, there's a reason nobody's been down
there's
there.
A reason. But here we are taking a risk. We're betting on this, right? Maybe it could make hockey huge. You never know. There might be some things that happen there. We've got some talent that's come out of Vegas. Zucker.
Yeah, this is true.
I mean, we've seen that on the Wild here. It's a highly traveled to place. So how many Minnesotans do you know that do take a trip down there
But you're going to be going there to see the Wild. So that means their home crowd is going to be terrible.
Kind of like when we saw the Arrows in San Antonio.
Yeah. That being said, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Is this will be the first big four team to be in that area? And, who knows? I'm suspicious that the area that Vegas will rally around this first professional team and actually fill the seats with home crowd. But stranger things have happened, and they don't have a football team. They don't have a basketball.
There's nothing competing there.
There's no competition in that regard.
They got a basketball team.
My biggest worry, the
Rebels.
Yeah, UNLV, right?
Yeah.
So. My biggest worry is after every Wild win down there, Parisi, Koivu, and Pommeville all come back with knee injuries.
Well,
mob. Sorry, it was a stretch.
Well, luckily, Stoll's not with the team anymore, because then I'd be worried about him being in Vegas. So, so at least we got that going for us.
What's Kane going to do down there?
Do you really want to know?
Anybody he wants?
Oh, God, man.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Wow, look at that train go.
So with this new team, there will be an accompanying expansion draft. Each team will be giving up one player. Teams are allowed to protect 7 forwards and 3 defensemen and 1 goaltender, or 8 skaters and 1 goaltender. Because of the Wild and their no movement clauses, basically they're going to be forced into the 7 forwards, 3 defensemen scheme. With that, so the Wild will be able to protect, basically automatically protected will be Parisi, Koivu, Pominville, and Suter because of the no movement.
All right.
That means you've got to protect 4 forwards and 2 defensemen and a goalie. Who do you protect? And if you're Vegas, who do you pick out of the guys you haven't protected?
Do we want to go round robin on this?
Let's go round robin. Jive. So what are you thinking?
Let's start with, who I would protect.
Who are you going to protect?
Are we going on the 7 forward, 3 defensemen?
You got to pick 4 forwards, 2 defensemen, and a goalie, because Parisi, Koivu, Pominville are already three of your forwards taken.
Right.
And Suter's already one of your defensemen that's taken.
For sure, I'm going to protect Coyle. I'm going to protect Granlund. And most likely, I'm also going to protect Nino and Holla.
So you're going to let Stahl go after just 1 year?
Those would be my four choices.
Okay.
Stahl at the, you know, at the end of this season, I mean, he's going to be 32 going on 33. He is a good veteran player. I mean, I might feel differently at the end of the season.
Sure.
You know, depending on how things go. But, you know, I don't know that that's exactly what they would be looking for. I think that we'd be giving up a lot more with giving up, you know, some of the younger talent.
So you're going with Nino, Coyle, Holla, and Granny.
Yeah.
For your forwards.
For my forwards.
Okay, and your two defensemen?
And my two defensemen that I would keep around. Hopefully Dumba will still be here. Dumba is who I would protect. And Dumba I would probably protect along with probably, I'd say Scandella.
Well, you didn't put in the entry level contracts that are protected also.
Correct. So the entry level contracts are protected. First and second year players are protected. So we're basically talking about guys that will be veterans at that point.
Right. So you were going with Dumba and
Scandella. Dumba and Scandella to protect.
And then we're going to assume that Kemper is not re-signed after this year. So
Dubnyk's going to be the
basically protected.
Obvious choice. I think we can all agree with Dubnyk on that.
So with your picks, who does Las Vegas pick?
What are they limited? Or they can take anybody. How many from each team?
Just one. One from each team.
Oh, I suppose that would give them a...
Well, if I was Vegas and had to pick one player...
From your list, I'm picking Zucker.
Yeah. I Aaron and I totally agree.
And
local boy.
Right, the local hometown boy. Well, he's
Newport Beach, California. He went to UNLV, though, right?
No, he grew up in Vegas.
But he was... Okay, so he's born in Newport Beach, yeah. Though.
So I'd go with Zucker if I'm Vegas.
If you're trying to pick somebody,
yeah, yeah. From your list of protection,
from my unprotected list,
yeah, yes.
What's left? Yeah, my unprotected, yeah. It would probably be Stewart or a Brodine, probably.
Oh,
those would be
mean Zucker two. Or Brodine.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who did I say?
Stewart.
Oh man.
Yeah, yeah. Brodine would be a possible pick too.
Yep.
Or Spurgeon, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of picks in there.
Yeah.
We're gonna lose someone good.
We're gonna lose something, but so is everybody else.
Right.
So
Kenny, what are you thinking?
As far as D Jive, I have to agree with you. I mean, definitely Dumba.
Yeah.
You know, the S's I'm kinda going back and forth on, but I think I'd have to stick with Scandella over Spurgeon. Mm-hmm. And I do think Spurgeon would be one of the definite guys that they'd want to pick. Looking at the forwards, I'm also going to agree with Holla and Granlund. I don't think you can lose those two. You know, even Finns, whatever, but I think they both have a lot in their future, especially with this team. Zucker, possibly. I think it's going to depend on how he plays this year. He's got the speed, but I haven't seen much from his hands that have really impressed me yet. But I do agree with Coyle as well. I think Coyle's definitely a top forward that we don't want to lose.
We saw some definite shining moments with his hands last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, other than that, I mean, and I guess it could kind of come down to what Stahl does. Because, I mean, if you've got a veteran player that is locking, especially with Parisi, I might have to go with Stahl for my fourth.
And that's where I would, you know, it's hard to make that call right now.
We're in such a limbo state with new coach, new coaching staff, you know, new lines. The
dynamics of the team by mid-season or the end of the season are going to be, you know,
I
that's what would determine what, you know, what these, you'd really decide.
We really know that these answers are going to be very different come the end of the season.
Well, so I was going
to
say,
we're going to have to ask this again at the end of the year.
We will be reviewing these. Without even saying it, I'm pretty sure this is going to be on our docket at the end of the season right. next year. So, Aaron, what's your picks? I'm guessing it's not going to be too far off from mine and Jive's.
Yeah, I think Nino is a definite keeper. I think that I think you expose Stahl just because of his age mm-hmm. and the money. I think Hall as a keeper. I think it is so tough. I'm gonna go Granlund and Coyle, I guess. Yeah.
What about your D?
D, I'm actually gonna go away from you guys a little bit with Dumba. I'm gonna keep that one. But I'm gonna keep Spurgeon. Spurgeon's our second goalie. So
Spurgeon, I mean, he was definitely up there on my list. And it's tough between him and Scandi. Spurgeon's got the speed and he does play low. Scandella's got a little bit better of a shot.
The big thing with Spurgeon is his contract is a little bit larger, so yeah. I could see the Wild wanting to expose that.
Yeah,
sure.
And because that's going to be a little more of a deterrent,
right?
So that's the only reason why I don't know that they would pick.
Scandella though, he's a little bit of the taller, bigger defenseman. Maybe a little bit more sought after. Spurgeon doesn't necessarily quite have that size. I mean,
he plays big, though.
That's the thing. We here in Minnesota, we know that he's gritty and he gets in
there. We've seen him go up guys.
But if they're just looking at stats on a sheet for, 6'4", 210, 220 pounds.
Maybe expose Spurgeon. Well, I mean, let's be honest. If you got Scandella and Dumba, if you're Las Vegas and you got Brodin or Spurgeon to pick from, who do you pick? I mean,
right?
And Zucker, because it seems like all of us are possibly willing to expose Zucker, just because of our other preferences. They're gonna have a pick that's gonna work out pretty well for them.
Yeah.
Come next year.
Well, and now let's keep it in mind, these aren't going to be rookie coaches and rookie scouts coming out. I mean, they're going to see how Spurgeon has played with his size. I mean,
our dumbasses know which players are good. So I'm sure someone who's educated and is seeing way more than we are is going to have even better idea on the value that these players could bring.
Yeah, it's not going to be the fans of Las Vegas voting on who they want to come in.
The lucky thing, though, is that only one team's coming in right now, so we're only losing one player.
Yep.
It would be worse, actually, if it was two teams coming in right now.
Yeah.
Because that we'd be losing a lot of talent.
So none of us opted on protecting goalies, though.
We're all assuming
we defaulted. Yeah,
and we're all assuming
Kemper's
gonna be an RFA, so and then you can't protect him.
We lose Dubnyk's in our.
He's gonna be protected,
and
so.
Then Kemper. We lose Kemper. We have the dude we were just talking about.
Stalock. But he might still fall under the 1-2 year guy.
Sure.
Maybe he'd be picked up. I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So. We do have some Twitter talk, huh?
Yeah, we do. So we got a few questions in here.
Quick questions.
We'll do rapid fire since we're already coming up on an hour here.
Yeah.
All right. Ty Sands 42 at Ty Sands 42. Yeah, he or she, I'm guessing he.
It's a he.
Which is the most improved team in the West? So, quick rundown of our summary of what we've seen. Luchik went to the Oilers. Louis Erickson went to the Canucks. Subban went to the Preds for Shea Weber. Hall from the Oilers went to the Devils for Adam Larsson. Elliott went from the Blues to Calgary. Rocco Grimaldi.
A.K.A. Tebow on ice.
Tebow on ice went to the Avs, so, Colorado's got their Tebow back. And Goligoski went to the Coyotes. So, out of all this, any of you guys see a huge improvement?
Well, the one you didn't bring up was the Wild and Stahl.
The Wild Stahl, picked Stewart. Up Stahl, and Stewart went back.
you know, I looking at this list, I mean, there's not a whole lot of improvement.
It's a lot of, like, just swapping players and hoping you get better chemistry.
And a lot of players moving to the East. The big, right. Big-name players have moved to the East.
So is the East going to be dominant next year?
I don't know about that. But, you know, if you don't include the Wild, I'm going to go with... the Purds, because I think it's a steal to get to Subban. And I don't like... I was never a big Weber guy, so...
And I would have to agree with that same statement. You know, that's probably going to be the biggest upside there as far as, you know, and I mean, they're asking more for teams from the West, or he is asking for teams from the West.
Yeah.
I think Subban was a pretty good pickup for the Predators, especially for Shea Weber. I mean, Shea Weber's a... You know, I mean, he's a solid defenseman. It might get under some people.
He's also got a really long contract.
Yeah.
Really long contract. So,
you signed that the same year that Suter left, right?
Yeah.
So now with both of those guys gone, is Suter still going to get booed in Nashville after that top defensive pairing is now kaput and gone? Are they going to boo both of them?
They're going to boo both of them, and they're just going to boo every team that ever plays against them. There's a defenseman on the ice. Boo!
Whatever. They're in Nashville.
Okay, next question.
Crappy country.
Next question. Falska at State of Hockey News. You like to use movie sound bites to spice up your podcast. Are you ever going to implement any from Nothing But Trouble?
Yes. At some point.
Oh, yeah? Nope. Yeah.
Bobo Little Debo. I got dibs on Diane.
No, we're actually just going to end all of our shows, I think, with Digital Underground.
Humpty Dance.
They didn't play Humpty Dance in the movie. It was something else, wasn't
it? Oh, Round and Round.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's how we're going to end every episode, or not.
Okay. Another question comes in from Felska. Who is your favorite Wild player of all time, past or present? Hashtag, never forget.
What about future?
Oh.
I got this one first.
All right, Marty McFly.
I'm going to go with Brian Rolston. I always liked his shot. I liked when he was doing his shootout shots where, I mean, he just... blast a bomb from the top of the circles, and yeah, I did really like him. American born player, so I'm gonna go with Ralston.
Well, you guys might think I'm kind of goofy here, but I'm thinking Richard Park, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
From the past. I think that, you know, he was a gritty little player, and I mean, he is out there. He'd score goals. He is a contributor to the team. Definite team contributor. So,
Aaron,
and I'm going to go a little nostalgic. And even though I'm not I'm a reformed fan of face punching. I got to go with Derek Bougard.
Bougard.
You can't go wrong.
There's so many years where, you know, you remember the time when you jump on the ice and the rest of the opposing team all just scurried away like cockroaches under a refrigerator.
And he'd have a grin on his face.
Yeah, I mean, it was something special when he was around. And
nobody messed with the guys. Anytime he was on the bench, it's like...
Nope.
He was definitely he was a protector.
Yes.
I'm not even going to say enforcer, he was a protector. All right. Another one from Mr. Felska at State of Hockey News. NHL is going to have a new team in Vegas for 2017-18 season, but still no name. What should it be called? We never discussed that.
I'm going to say Silver and Gold Cash and Pawn.
the Stars. Oh. Oh, shoot. That doesn't work.
Trumps?
It's probably going to be something hokey like the Aces or...
Oh. The Blackjacks.
Blackjacks, there you go. The Kings. Oh, wait.
Las Vegas Hold'em.
The Queens.
Oh, the Flops.
The Flops. Are they going to have a bunch of Swedish divers on their team? They're going to take...
Oh, Brodin's gone now.
One of the assistant coaches will be Flopsburg. He'll come back.
All right. Yep. Okay, another one for Falska. Some great questions here. The AHL recently introduced a bunch of rules designed to curb fighting, including ejection for any fight off the face-off. In your opinion, are these rules good for the game, and how much longer before we see fighting eliminated from the NHL? I'm going to answer this because I just talked about it. I think fighting in hockey is... It's old school, and I don't think there's a place for it anymore. And as someone who enjoyed fighting growing up, watching that, and I just don't see a point in it anymore. It feels tired and old. So I think fighting's going to go away. And without getting the whole fighting pro or con conversation, I think that's a good thing for the NHL actually.
And I don't think that you want to stop a whole game over fights, you know, constantly, like how things, you know, were back then. But I think a good fight here and there definitely keeps some excitement in the game and keeps a momentum. It's a momentum shifter if you need a little momentum and you can't necessarily get it via the goal.
Well, I still like a good, you know, heavyweight matchup on the ice, like Bugard style. But I think some of the stuff that they're trying to curb is, I believe, what these rules are trying to enforce. So I think overall it'll be good. I mean, you're starting to see less and less of it in the NHL anyways. I mean, you see a lot more scraps and a lot more, roughing calls between two guys rather than the full on drop in the gloves and everything else. You know, nobody wants to bust their hand on somebody's visor because they're not allowed to take their helmet off anymore. So,
all right. Next question comes in from Blake at AHS Hockey 24. He asks, which D-man is most likely to get traded at the deadline and for who?
This is actually a great question because this is a way the Wild can mitigate their exposure during the expansion draft. Is by trading some of these guys that they know they're going to possibly lose. So with that, I think the prime candidate is going to be one of either Brodin, Scandella, Spurgeon.
Top four paid. I mean,
yeah, I mean, they're all got big money.
Well, you know, we don't know what Dumba's contract could potentially be right now either, though.
You know, but they could be trying to move one of these guys for younger talent and on another team. Protected talent, mm-hmm. whereas another team might have a space for protection. So we could see something like that. And especially, I mean, it's all going to hinge on how the Wild are doing come mid-season. If they're doing well, it's going to be hard to defend if you're Chuck Fletcher trading away, you know, Spurgeon for young players that aren't NHL ready.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I'm going to say if I'm going to pick one out of all those players, I'm going to go Brodin.
I think I'm going to agree with you on that one.
Wow. I think we are all in agreement.
Holy crap. Uh-huh. That hasn't happened in a while.
We are truthfully three in the box.
The D box.
The D box.
All right. That's it for...
Okay.
Holy crap.
That's it for Twitter questions. We are way over here.
We haven't been on the air for a while, so
yeah. So we had a lot.
We spent 5 minutes talking about Pokemon.
We had a lot of Pokemon to talk about. So, yeah. With that, Kenny, where can people find you?
Usually at a nightclub working or a church. Oh, you mean on online, like the stuff
on the interwebs.
Ah, you can find me at imkenny. That is KENNEY, and it has links to my Twitter, Instagram. Summertime, I tend to keep those updated a little bit more because, you know, I'm a little bit more adventurous.
Taking
stuff.
Pictures of the stages you're on.
Stages and the bands that I'm working with and stuff like that. So now's a good time to look.
Cool. And Jive, where can people find what you're up to?
You can find me. I'm on about.me/heyjive.
As for myself, you can find links to everything I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inthebox. If you got questions, send us those tweets, hashtag 3ITB, and we'll probably read them on the show. You can listen to our podcast on our website, 3inthebox.com, or through your favorite podcast player. That's it for this week's episode. See y'all.